But first, 25 years ago, CB radio was legalised in Britain, but the craze had already swept the country some years earlier, as truckers, radio enthusiasts and just about anyone who felt the urge to surf the airwaves had a rig of their own. Now Dominic Arkwright looks back at a time when CB ruled the waves.
It's 1978. Jeff Briggs is running his own auto-electrical business in Gateshead when one otherwise unremarkable afternoon, a customer comes in with a strange request. For Jeff, and for Gateshead, it's the start of something big.
A young lad came into the workshop and asked if I would fit a CB radio, and I just said, well, what is a CB radio? I mean, we used to fit a lot of car radios. And he asked if we would fit a CB radio, and I had no idea what it was. And when he explained it to me, it was Citizens Band, and I agreed to fit it. You know, it was fairly straightforward. When you fit it, when you had to tune it in, and I used the SWR meter and peek it in, and you listen to it. And a lot of it was just inane garbage, really, you know, they used to speak.
Yeah, I'm going to be heading for my home 20, which is Harrow, Middlesex. I should be going there, I should think, in about the next half an hour.
He started to explain to us that it wasn't particularly legal. There wasn't nothing illegal about fitting it or owning one. I believe that it was just illegal to use it. So I fitted it. And then as he started talking about it, I became a bit more interested in Citizens Band Radio. But I think that he was probably one of the first in the Northeast that had a one anyhow. When more and more people asked to have CB radios fitted, I began to realise that there must be something in this. And then before long, there was a proliferation of Citizen Band clubs setting up all over the northeast of England when they were talking about burners and amplifiers and twigs. And it brought in quite a vocabulary of its own, actually. You know, and they were asking each other if they had their ears on and have you seen a smoky bear or not. It was, you know, when we began to realise that it had its own language, I saw an opening to make a tape called Teach Yourself CB. We used all the American sayings and sort of the vocabulary that went with it, and we defined it and translated it and put it into English. Start off with Hello Rubber Banders.
Hello Rubber Banders. I hope I'm coming in loud and proud over your blessed event, whether you're in a pressure cooker or a pregnant roller skate. But if you're in a hole in the wall, perhaps we could continue this conversation over a road tile. Till then, I'm going down. Eights and other good numbers.
To be honest, it still sounded silly at the end of the day.
Break a wine. This is the bandit. This is a snowman out there. My head, your son.
Mercy sakes. You put about 8.5 on me. Blowing my windows down. Bring it on.
But somehow, with Smokey and the Bandit and Convoy, it seemed to make a bit of sense, and it fitted the American culture. Across here, it just seemed so far out of place, it was unbelievable, but the kids took it seriously.
A newcomer to CB radio is a rubber bander, and if I'm coming in loud and proud over your blessed event, it merely means that you're getting a strong, clear reception from your new CB rig. A pressure cooker or a pregnant roller skate refers to the vehicle. If you're driving a pressure cooker, you're in a sports car, and a pregnant roller skate is a Volkswagen Beetle. Do you copy? Or in other words, do you understand? If you're in an area of poor signal strength, you're in a hole in the wall. And if so, how about meeting up for a road tar? Well, that's a cup of coffee.
It did remarkably well. We were told that had it been on vinyl and not cassette, it would have been in the lower end of the charts. I mean, looking back, we did it. It was a bit amateurish in many ways, but we saw the opportunity and we had to act quickly.
Breaker 1-4, Chevy 2, this is Fenning, I got a copy.
Yeah, the Breaker 1-4, this is Papa Kilo, do you copy?
No, don't worry, that wasn't interference. It was the sound of Citizens Band Radio, which is catching on in Britain in a big way, even though it is against the law.
Yeah, Breaker 1-9, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben, come on.
Smuggling of radios across the borders. A guy turns up in the middle of a field, two briefcases full of money, to see flashing headlights, another truck pulling up, backing up together, and radios changing hands and money changing hands. That was the dark days of CB.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading
for bear on... Some 25 years ago, Alan Crumpton, a.k.a. Al Capone, first entered the twilight world of CB sales. Today he's owner of Thunderpole, a large CB distributor, but back in the late 70s, he was struggling to come to grips with what was then a somewhat shady business.
I can remember the first day of working for a particular wholesaler, like the first job I had in the CB radio. I've walked into the warehouse and he says, there's your vehicle, there's the goods. I said, where do I go? He said, wherever you want. I said, well, have you got a list of customers? He said, no, you go and find your customers. And basically, I filled a vehicle up with goods and I drove off with a CB radio on and drove into Birmingham and called on the CB and said, can anyone tell me where the nearest CB shop is? I said, and I was directed to the back roads to a CB shop, walked in and sold the goods.
Were they disguised?
No. No, it was just a shop in back streets, and there they were. It could have been, let's say, Breaker 14 or Breaker 19 or CB Radio Accessory Shop, or in Birmingham, there's a guy called Crunchy Frog. I mean, this guy was... Well, I won't say too much in case he's listening these days, but he was a character. I mean, he did look like a frog. I mean, he was a huge, well, more like a toad, a huge guy, sat in this shop, and he was frightening. He walked in there, and he was just massive guy. And I said, I've come to speak to Crunchy Frog. Yes, you're speaking to him. I said, right, OK. What do you want? I said, I want to see some CB products. Right, let's go out to your van then. And he came. And the goods passed hands, and he gave me lots of money, and I drove away, and that was it. Everyone paid cash. There was no such things as cheques or bank transfers. It was all cash. And you're taking all this cash back to the warehouse and say, there's this pot of cash. And I can remember walking in the one day, and the guy I was working for, he was in his office, and he'd got a desk about 6 feet by 3 feet, and on his desk, there wasn't a square inch that wasn't covered in money, in notes. And I'm talking 20s and 50 pound notes, standing about 6 inches off the table across his desk. There must have been £250,000. And that was that was 3 days' takings. So there was a lot of money flying around in those days, a lot of money.
Eyeball. To meet a fellow sea beer, or to have the vehicle you're talking to within view.
Fairy tale.
A story or a report. Example, how about a fairy tale about Papa Bear?
I can remember one guy, he got a rucksack on his back, and he looked in, he'd walked miles, but he'd also got an antenna, an aerial strapped to the side of him, and a CB microphone in his hand. And I said, well, what you got? He said, well, I'll carry my battery. And it was a heavy-duty car battery in the rucksack, because all CBs are 12 volt. So he was running a CB off a car battery and an antenna strapped to his waist. And that's how he used to use his CB. And there were a lot of CB clubs around, which used to run entertainment and meet, or as I call them, eyeballs, where you could meet the people you've been speaking to on the CB. Sometimes that was a bit of a downer, because this lovely voice that you'd been talking to, she seemed as though she was gorgeous, and it was an 83-year-old turn-up, you know.
And her handle was Helen of Troy.
I was on the outskirts of a little southern town, trying to reach my destination before the sun went down.
As the CB craze grew, so the wave of American-imported hardware and jargon was accompanied by a flurry of Midwestern sentimental ballads and redneck road movies.
And he said, Breaker 19, is anyone there? Come on back, truckers, and talk to Teddy Bear.
But for its critics, the downside didn't end there. CB users could interfere with television reception, infuriate radio-controlled model plane flyers by bringing them down, and supposedly cut across emergency service frequencies. But for supporters of CB, of course, the benefits far outweighed the costs. Joe Green, a.k.a. Jumping Master, was part of a new kind of close-knit community.
But you see, I get lonely and it helps to talk.
There was one guy who was a magistrate, so his handle was the judge. You know, you had people like Hot Dog, Peddler, and all these different names, Sugar Lump, Big Bad B. So you had all areas, and like, say, with Coventry, I used to be up in, I'd say, the Bell Green area. We was called the BBC, which was Bell Breakers Club. Over the years, with these communities, we even had things like an emergency service team. The one in Coventry was called the Coventry and District Emergency Service Team, or CADES, for short, you know.
What did they do?
They used to monitor Channel 9. On the CBs, Channel 9 was always an emergency channel, so... And if somebody was in trouble, even if something silly like, okay, run out of petrol or whatever, it was just one big massive community thing. In fact, on there, one woman used to have one on the pram. You know, she used to have the baby in the pram and used to have the little rack underneath and there'd be a little car battery under there and actually have it all rigged up with the aerial on it and everything. And people used to do the most extraordinary wet things, you know, to actually, you know, transmit out, being it was illegal. People would have aerials up a disused chimney and that lot, so in the middle of a tree. And... going back with the old AM days as well, one of the things that used to cause a little bit of a grievance to neighbours was the fact that sometimes you'd be transmitting on these aerials on a biscuit tin and inside your house, and you might have a neighbour across the road gets woken up in the middle of the night because all they can hear is this voice come booming out their speakers, and that, even though the stereo's not switched on.
You're tapping into other people's stereos.
Well, it's just, with it being illegal, like the radios then used to cause one or two problems, especially with remote control planes. It was just fun. It was just solely fun, and it was one of the things you could get in your car and you spent more time in your car than you did at home.
Did you ever feel slightly nerdy?
No. Even to this day, I still drive around with big aerials on the car. People see a West Indian guy drive around with big aerials on the car and they recognise me. You know, they still know it's Jumping Master. You know, people out there, you know, they've probably still got CB radios tucked away in the loft somewhere, or they've been on it and they've got an handle. They might not use the handle so much now, but they've still got the memories from it, because it was an happy time.
1-2, 1-2, testing, 1-2.
Most people use those as you call a Roger beep, which is an end of transmission sound.
What's it called?
Roger beep, which is, they say, an end of transmission sound. So once you D-key, you press that and say, I've finished, rather than saying Roger over and out, or... 1-9 for a rig check. Is there anybody out there? Yeah, where are you, breaker? Milton Keynes, yeah, we're just about receiving you. Giving us about a £3 from Milton Keynes. Thank you very much. Milton Keynes, 20-odd mile, huh?
Are you pleased with that?
I'm very pleased with that, yes, yeah.
Maybe it's my ears, but I found that virtually impossible to understand.
Yeah, I think you've got to... I mean, I'm finding that difficult, but with Joe and Colin, who are using it all day, that would be playing crystal clear to them.
Well, by now, CB jargon should be becoming very familiar to you. And at this point, it may be useful to mention some of the do's and don'ts of CB radio. Don't broadcast false information. No profanity. Do not transmit music, sound effects, or use CB for any entertainment purposes. When you break a channel, do not interrupt other users unless it is an emergency. Don't allow children to play with equipment, especially the microphone.
The first time I actually sat in the car, my cousin had told me what to do, and I plucked the courage out, went out there, and I thought the CB lingo was 1-4 for a coffee. And I sat there, I was going 1-4 for a coffee, and no answer. And then this guy come back, he said, you got it wrong, breaker. He said, it's 1-4, that was the breaking channel in the early days, it's 1-4 for a copy, not a coffee.
10-1, receiving poorly. 10-2, receiving well.
Colin Shepherd was wary of this exciting new world of CB because he, like other users, knew what he was doing was illegal. That, after all, was part of the fun. Breakers enjoyed the thrill of evading the law, but they knew that stories of hefty fines and confiscated rigs weren't just scaremongering. Policing the airwaves was the old GPO before privatisation, Out on the streets, detector vans were listening out for over-casual CB users.
10-8, on the air and standing by.
Most people would have a car or some sort of a home base set up, and you'd have to be very, very careful, because in the old days there you had what you call Busby, and it was a porcupine. It was a big comma van, and it had big aerials all over it, listening aerials that basically could pick up the CB, and they had DF loops, which was an aerial that you could twist around and it would give you a direction, and they could really pinpoint you down to where you lived.
And this was the post office?
This was the post office. It was the GPO detector van, but the CB slang was the Busby. I'd had a couple of visits around the area from the porcupine van, and I thought, oh, well, I better stop this home base business and just go back to the mobile. I didn't really want to get fined or anything. And one Sunday afternoon, there was a knock on the door, and there was this little girl, about 11 years old, and she turned round. She said, Mr. Shepherd, have you got rid of your CB radio? And I said, well, I have, yes. What's the problem? Oh, we can't listen to you anymore. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, we all sit round, and there was this, like, hi-fi speaker in the room. The radio wasn't even turned on, and for some reason it was picking up the modulation, and the family would be sat round listening to me talking on the CB. But at first, the reason I got a visit from the Busby was basically they thought there was a spy in the area, because they heard this person talking and using code words and funny language, and they thought there was actually a spy transmitting somewhere around the world. You know, they thought he was local, and they reported this to the police, and the police had got on to the local interference squad, and they were round about the area.
10:20, location. 10:33, emergency.
I used to run a garage in Didcot, and the local police were very friendly with us. And they knew that we had the CB club, and one of the bobbies come in one day and he said, pulled me to one side, he said, look, Colin, he said, we've got some stolen CB sets up the police station. He said, we know that they belong to some of your guys locally, but if they come up and want to collect them, you know, we'll obviously won't do anything, they can take them. And my question was, well, you know it's illegal, you know, why aren't you going to do anything about it? And they said, well, we've known this club's been going on for a while, and since the club's been active in the last couple of years, the crime rate in Didcot has gone down, and it's because that a lot of the guys in your club were the local villains, and they've actually become part of your society. We know that they've kept in line because they've made friends, and we're not going to do anything about it, you know, unless there's anything really bad happened, you know.
Did you know they were the local villains?
Well, at the time, you knew that they were rough, and, you know, some of them had a little bit of a record, you know, but anybody could join in.
Harry, are you sure this is the shortcut to the hospital?
Trust me, Phyllis.
Phyllis, we're stuck.
Sometimes it's good to know you've got a friend. Near is your High Gain Citizens two-way radio.
I'm out here on Old Parker Road and I need...
High Gain Citizens two-way radios are easy to install and operate. Complete systems from just under $150.
And make it fast. Fast.
You've got a friend. Near is your High Gain Citizens two-way radio.
That's a thought. That's a thought. Whatever happened to CB radio? What a nine-day wonder that was. It's ever since they legalised it, it's sort of gone off the boil. I mean, it was all right when it was illegal, wasn't it? I mean, you know, furtively using coded messages was all part of the fun. Now it's legal, it's all sort of faintly bobble at time, isn't it? Yeah. Spending a couple of hundred quid to buy a radio to talk to someone who lives 50 yards up the road. Asking if Donald Duck can speak to Zorro in the gingerbread garden.
When CBs first came into this country, they were illegal, on an illegal frequency. The government, in their wisdom, legalised it, but used a different frequency from what the Americans were using. And it wasn't as effective, it wasn't as good, didn't have the range, and nobody wanted it. So they kept on. A lot of people still stuck with the illegal frequency. CB, I think, has probably saved a few lives along the way, you know, because really it was... it was potentially very, very effective. But what did spoil it was there was kids coming on and they were using, you know, they were swearing bad language, and that's what spoiled it for me. You know. But to be perfectly honest, I mean, looking back now, I guess that the police weren't really that bothered. You know, there was a lot of noise made, but I think the police had a lot more things to worry about than kids playing on radios. And I suppose there's still some people have them, you know, the real stalwarts have still got them. But who needs a CB when you've got a mobile phone?
His name is Dominic Arkwright from Radio 4. Over. Yes, I listen to radio quite a bit.
If the cult of CB died with legalisation, which users tend to say it did, it has remained invaluable to truckers and more recently another disparate community. When breaker Joy Waterman died, she left a bequest in her will to Age Concern to set up a CB network for elderly people living in Tiverton and the surrounding Devon countryside. One of the organisers, Alan Sedgbeer, a.k.a. the plumber, let me listen in.
Anyway, Charles, I'd better let you go round to somebody else this morning because there's quite a few on this morning. It's very nice to spoken to you again. I hope you haven't been washed out too much with the weather.
Right, cheers, Cecil. I'll just give a quick call out and see if Alan is on the side. Then I'll take you to Patsy, Charles. Yeah, Alan, you on the side yet, mate?
Yes, I'm with you this morning, Phil. Very good morning to you. Very good morning, Charles, and your good self there, Cyril.
We'll move on a little bit there. Patsy, go to Cyril there, mate.
Again, my darling, always nice to hear you. Talk to you the second time, even third or fourth time,
babe. Oh, I always get a lovely reception from you, Patsy. It's always nice to hear you come on in the morning. And I'm making wonderful new friends all the time on the CB, so, I mean, you can't go wrong on that, can you? Over.
Okay.
I got you in, Trick.
That's the breaker in, Mr. Chairman. Sounds like Twiggy to me.
Okay, mate. Hang fire there, Cyril and Bob. Yeah, Alan, what's up, mate?
Yeah, roger. Yeah, thanks for letting me in, Phil. Dominic would like to have a word with you all, so round to you, Dominic.
Dominic, I'll call myself long way from the earlier conversation with Cyril. Breaking to anyone. No,
right, you've got Patsy Marshmallow over on the other side, Dominic.
Can you speak to the lady?
Did I get that right? Was that Patty Marshmallow? Dominic Longwave here. Tell me about some of the language that you use, the breaker language. Are you into the 10-4, 10-7, 10-this, 10-that?
No, I don't know all of the lingo, not off right, especially now. I think my brain's got a bit of addled. Over a week ago, I had another stroke which left me talking like this. I don't usually. And a bit, forgetful.
Marshmallow, long wave, signing off. Roger and out. Thank you very much.
And you lovely fellow.
I live on my own because my wife died. And if it weren't for Joy Radio, having somebody to talk to, I don't know what half of us would do. Over.
Sunshine Bob, thank you very much. I will leave the network now. Thank you to all the breakers listening. Dominic Longwave. Signing off, over and out. Thank you very much. Many of the Joy Radio breakers are mature CBers coming back on air. Patsy, a.k.a. Marshmallow, is one of them. We've arranged an eyeball. Do people change when they're alone with their CB communicating? Are they different when they're on air?
I think so. I was talking to some young boys and they said, what do you look like? And I said, well, I'm about 5'6". I have blonde hair, blue eyes, slim. And some call me rather lovely looking, but and I promised to meet them at Welcome outside the post office, but of course I never turned up because I didn't want them to see me.
And when Marshmallow is on air, what are you talking about?
Not always my favourite subjects, but anything that comes on, like something that might come on the news, or something that, like I can see the birds feeding from me outside, and I tell them what different birds, like sparrows and finches, have come down. Sometimes it's because somebody has been ill and they want someone to understand how they feel. Or we want to send our messages to people that are ill. There are so many things. We try to get away from the painful things of life. Just occasionally we bring them up. And there's one who's ever so interesting, and that's the gentleman who's called Cyril. He may not be able to see, but he has a wonderful vocabulary. He can talk about his holidays, and he makes you feel as if you were there with him.
You obviously had practice in the 80s, so mastering the technology, was that easy?
I didn't see anything technical about it. It was so easy. Just pick up a mic and talk. It's like going on stage. You pick up the mic and you sing or do whatever what you got to. It just came natural to me.
And buddy, if I never live to see happiness again, I want you to know I saw it that day in the face of that little man.
If you go up to the flying location, go down the other side. We're near there, Brake.
That's a 4 on me way.
Give me a shout when you're sort of coming down that hill, because I'm going to have a chat with Yankee Cowboy now, Brake.
We went to Droitwich to see some friends a couple of 3 years ago. We was walking down the high street, and there comes towards me is this guy, Jukebox. And he looks at me and says, Al Capone. I said, oh, Jukebox. Now, he knew my name was Alan, and I knew his name was Barry. But it was Al Capone and Jukebox.
Breaker 1-4, Breaker 1-4. Anyone out there got a copy on the Diesel Disco? Diesel Disco, come back.
Yeah, you got the Black Diesel, come back.
The Black Diesel, was that, come back?
Negative, Black Eagle,
under the bird, come back. That's a big 10, Roger. Black Eagle, any relation to the Wild Eagle, come back.
Negative, come back.
We wish each and every one a special prayer for you, because you just made my little boy's dream come true. I'll sign off now before I start to cry. May God ride with you. 10-4, and goodbye.
When CB Rolled the Waves was presented by Dominic Arkwright and produced in Bristol by John Byrne.